Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the JSW Energy Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by DAM Capital Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Faizan. On behalf of DAM Capital, I welcome you all to the Q2 FY22 earnings call of JSW Energy. From the management, we have Mr. Prashant Jain, Joint Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Pritesh Vinay, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Ashwin Bajaj, Group Head, Investor Relations. We'll start with brief opening remarks followed by Q&A. I would now hand over the call to Ashwin. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Mohit, and thanks for hosting the call today. Good evening, everyone. This is Ashwin Bajaj, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to our Q2 FY22 call. As Mohit introduced, we have Prashant Jain and Pritesh Vinay on the call, so I'll hand it over to Prashant for his opening remarks, and then we'll take questions. Over to you.
Thank you, Ashwin. Power demand in the quarter two was up by 9.9%, and similarly, we saw in quarter one power demand upwards at 16.4%. In the entire H1, we saw 13% power demand growth. First time we saw the peak power demand touching 200 GW in the month of July. In the first 27 days in October this year, power demand is up by 3.3%, which is year-on-year. If you look at FY19, it is 14.4% up. We are seeing a robust trend in the power demand, and that is also reflected in the day-ahead market in the merchant. During the quarter, the merchant volume was up by 22% for the country at 6,000 million units. For JSW Energy also, the overall net generation increased by 2% during the quarter. Total thermal generation was also up by 4%, whereas the hydro generation was down by 1%. In terms of the long-term sales, it was flat at 6,200 million units, whereas the short-term sales in the merchant market was up by 116% at 236 million units. The similar trend was continuing in the month of October also. The first 25 days, we were the largest seller of the power in the entire merchant market. During the quarter, our EBITDA was up by 10% at 1,080 crores, which was primarily due to the higher short-term sales as well as the recoveries in late payment surcharges. Our profit after tax was at 339 crore, but if it is adjusted, PAT is 414 crore. The PBT saw the robust growth of 24% at 604 crores. Our receivables saw the downward trajectory. Year-on-year, 19% down and quarter-on-quarter, 7% down. Our net debt was also lower by 1% during the quarter at 6,500 crore, with a weighted average interest cost of 8.04%. Now, as far as the growth of the company is concerned, all the renewable projects are moving on track for 2.5 GW. We have completed more than 50% tunneling for 10 km in our Kutehr project ahead of the schedule. The pace at which this project is being built, if everything comes true, it will be the fastest ever project built in the country for any hydro power plant. With respect to the solar and wind plants, we have already ordered all the equipments and construction work is going on for our 225 megawatt solar power plant. We have already started receiving solar panels and they are being installed at this point of time. And the commissioning of the project will start from the Q4 of this financial year. For our green hydrogen project, the scoping work has already started with in terms of the technology selection, working with OEMs, with also the partners who will be sourcing hydrogen for steel production or consumption of ammonia per se. And we believe that with this, once this scoping exercise is complete, we will be ready with the pilot project sooner than later. We have also started taking concrete steps in terms of the intermittency solutions as we discussed last time. In line of that and developing a large pipeline of intermittency solutions, the first 1500 megawatt of the hydro pumped storage project MOU was signed with Government of Maharashtra. And similar, some other projects are also being developed. So JSW Energy will be moving in lithium-ion battery storage solution as well as hydro pump storage solution to provide an integrated solution to a round-the-clock green power. Also, company has already appointed the legal advisor, tax advisor, the financial advisor for reorganizing our gray and green energy business. And we are expecting in a couple of weeks, a final scheme will be presented before the board. And then once the board approves it, then the implementation of scheme will start to unlock the value. With this, I would like to open the floor for the question and answer session. And I take this opportunity before closing my remarks to wish you and your family a very happy Diwali in advance. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Mohit Kumar from DAM Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, sir. So firstly, on the reorganization of gray and green, what are the timelines you're looking at? What are the steps, you know, after board approves, we as an investor will get to know, you know, more about it. And the related question is this hydrogen thing will be part of green. What are the projects you are looking at in the next 12 to 24 months, which you believe which can be, you know, which can become where you can start some work?
So I'll take the second question and I'll ask Pritesh to answer the first question. So the as part of the reorganization of the business, whether it is renewable generation by hydro, solar, wind, also the intermittency solution by lithium-ion battery storage or hydro pump storage, the green hydrogen, green ammonia initiatives, all this will be part of the total green business. The only gray power business will be having only the thermal business, which is right now Ratnagiri, Vijayanagar and Barmer. So this is how the reorganization will be happening, and any other future venture also, which is with respect to either the generation or any other specific initiative with respect to the which is ESG compliant and green will be a part of the entire green vertical. And Pritesh, would you like to answer on the timelines?
Yeah, sure, Prashant. Mohit, if you just take a step back and you look at the way our corporate structure is today, we have, of course, thermal business in the parent company. Then we have another wholly owned subsidiary, which is a Barmer entity, which is a thermal asset. We have a separate JV, which is a transmission asset. We have hydro as a 100% sub, which in turn has a sub of Kutehr project. And then we have currently this entity called JSW Future Energy, which was earlier called JSW Solar Energy, which is basically the vehicle for all our wind and solar initiatives so far, into this. So last time when we had shared that the whole purpose of reorganization was to have one vehicle just one step below JSW Energy, which will house all the green initiatives. And as Prashant rightly clarified, that not only from the generation point of view, but all the new energy initiatives, both on storage as well as hydrogen point of view. So, I would not be able to preempt and answer specifically what you've asked, but typically, as is the norm with these kind of things, the idea is to see that what is going to be the most efficient way from, income tax, stamp duty, Companies Act, other regulatory approvals, etc. point of view in order to do it in the most efficient manner. And typically there will be elements which will involve a scheme of arrangement through an NCLT process, etc. So I can give a very generic response, but as Prashant was saying that, the advisors have already presented options which the board has kind of taken cognizance of, and hopefully in due course we should be able to going back to the board with a full proposal after making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, post which we will be making due disclosures to the stock exchanges.
So one clarification, have you signed the PPA for the Kutehr project with Haryana?
That is still under finalization, Mohit. We hope to get to that line, the crossing line, hopefully sooner rather than later.
It's a procedural matter, not a principal issue.
Understood, sir. And sir, one more question on the, as far as the merchant capacity is concerned, our merchant capacity, do you expect that capacity to reduce with the new steel plant, up and running from JSW Steel?
So right now our 13% of the total capacity is open, and we are happy to have 13% open capacity as we are speaking. So, but yes, we, as a long-term strategy, as and when we find out the opportunities to tie it up, we will be certainly doing it.
Understood. Thank you and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Apurva Bahadur from Investec. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. So you said that post the separation of grey and green businesses, all the ESG compliant businesses will remain in green. Now, should I read this that this sort of also will enable us to foray into grey businesses if need presents itself, particularly say for example the Barmer expansion, which was sort of a pending issue?
As of now, our strategy is that, we are concentrating only on the renewable power business, and that's what we would like to hold on. But if at some point of time, if two companies are separated and an umbilical cord is disconnected, then I will not be in a position to comment about that at that point of time.
So, sir. Makes sense. So secondly, on this basically government allowing this private coal mine for some sale of coal to third parties. Does that help us in Barmer in any way, or no sale possible from there?
Yeah, it makes sense and it helps. So it is permitted in law now to make a sale. And so we are working with the respective government authorities to look at that.
So what would be the quantum if and when that sale commences?
So as of now, 3 million tons of lignite can be sold as per the environment clearance. So that's the opportunity, but it is subjected to the various approvals if the government of Rajasthan agrees.
Okay. So just one last question from my side, and that is on the battery storage part. Do we see any opportunities crystallizing as of now, or are we participating in any of the government tenders?
So I see a large opportunity which will crystallize in time to come. And so right now some tenders are being crystallized and they will be coming into play. But at this point of time, you know, the costs are pretty high, and these will be the exploratory tenders. But for the meaningful capacities to come, it will take at least 2 years. With that, we will be seeing a lot of storage application. But I see more potential on hydro pump storage as compared to the battery storage solution because of the shelf life and also the environment friendly nature, and third is cost competitiveness. So once a hydro pump storage project is built, the life is 100 years, whereas the battery storage system life is only 6 to 7 years. So there are only number of cycles which can be used for the charging and discharging for a lithium ion battery. So the cost become high for them.
Okay. So in that case, the MOU with Maharashtra, which we have signed, what type of timelines can we expect for a possible execution?
So these are the projects which will be built for the grid. Like there will be very sticky projects which will be coming. This project is not for government of Maharashtra. We have signed it. MOU for allocation of project. Now we are taking environment clearances and various land acquisition which is have been started. So over a period of time, these kind of projects will be seeing the light of the day. Because once the large capacity of the renewable capacity is coming up, then intermittency solution needs to be solved.
Makes sense. And capital cost would be similar to normal hydro project?
No.
Lower.
Maybe 20 to 25% of that.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kishore from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. My first question is regarding JSW Energy's leading position as a seller in the merchant market. What proportion of your power is getting sold on the exchanges, and what is in bilateral contracts?
So we have been. We have been selling, a large volume. Like if last quarter, if you see, there was a total merchant market of 6,000 million units and we sold close to 235 million units, 236 million units. So which was only 4% of the total size. But in the month of October, we sold more than the volume what we have sold in the last quarter itself. And so in terms of the individual IPP, we were the largest.
Okay. And this was, what proportion was on exchanges? So just to understand.
100% of the exchanges. We sold 100% on the exchanges. So during the good vibrant market. We sell 100% of the, our capacity, and sometimes our plants run at 104-105% capacity also. So in October month was a good month for us.
Yes. And given that long duration contracts are likely to get introduced on exchanges soon now, the regulator has paved the way, would you think that, you know, bilateral market would be something of the past for you now, because LDC would provide an option on the exchanges for you know, a few months to a year?
I don't think you will be seeing in time to come the merchant market only. Over a period of time, once this all capacities get crystallized, it will be only a long-term market in India. So I absolutely differ from the some of the theories which are being floated around, that the PPAs will be over permanently and then it will be only a merchant market. I think this all has happened because of certain overcapacity which came up without any any PPAs during 2005 to 2008 time frame, where people conceptualized the projects based on the merchant market, and a lot of funding happened for those projects, and people came up with those projects. Now those projects have been tied up over a period of time, and now balance some of the capacity will get tied up, whichever is pending, because most of the projects which were under construction, they died down and they are sitting in NCLT as a bad debt at this point of time. And some of the projects which are operating, they will, their capacities are getting tied up. Like if you look at JSW Energy was having 55% tied up capacity and 45% was merchant. Today we are only 13% merchant, and we will also tie up. Now for last 5 years, no capacity has been built on merchant, and right now also nobody is building it. So once this all capacity gets built up and gets tied up, then there will be no merchant market in this country. It will be only the long-term market. Who is going to set up for 25 years a merchant market, a power plant, will make an investment today and then wait for a merchant to decide? So no lender funds, no person would say equity. It's a all myth which is being created by some people.
The share of the short-term market, which is 11-12% of the overall market, in your opinion, will still remain in this range. And, you know,
it will also get tied up. Everything, because given a choice, you talk to any seller in the market, he wants to tie up his capacity if there is a long-term buyer. And all these people will be tying up. Like, look at the situation. 2 years ago, pilot 2 scheme auction was done by Government of India. There was no taker at 3.25 rupees. All PPAs were signed once this October crisis happened. So once the shortage happened, look at this situation. Every year, only 10 gigawatt capacity has been adding up in this country, which is renewable, which is equivalent to 2 gigawatt. Actual power demand has been growing 9-10 gigawatt. So last 5-7 years time frame, around 35,000 to 40,000 over capacity was absorbed. And this was the capacity which was floating in the merchant market. Now, once you are seeing this kind of economic recovery, first this all open capacity will get absorbed. They will get the coal linkages, they will get the coal from the commercial mining or the mines which are going to source the coal from the captive mines which is Government of India has allowed. With that basis, people will try to tie up this capacity. And once they tie up this capacity, merchant market will dry up. And no new investment is coming based on the merchant. That's the only prognosis.
So, but why aren't we seeing 25-year long-term PPA, you know, or auctions happening to absorb that capacity now? For the last couple of years also, we've not really heard of any 25-year PPA getting signed.
Sorry, your line is bad. I could not hear you.
There's a lot of echo, Sumit. I don't know if you're on speaker. Can you just speak on the handset, please, so that we can hear you clearly? Thank you.
Is it better now?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry for that. So I was saying that in the past 12 months, we are yet to see any state asking for 25-year PPA. So you basically suggesting in the next 12 to 24 months, there will be multiple states coming out with requirement for 25-year PPA?
See, once the shortages start happening, the people will sign up for it. And I believe the shortages, we have just seen the tip of the iceberg, what happened in the month of October. Because there was no investment has taken place in the power sector. It's not about the coal shortage, which we have seen. It's about the load which has come upon the thermal power plant. Look at, we have 100 gigawatt of the renewable capacity, which is operating at 19% CUF as a nationwide, which means you are talking about 19 gigawatt of actual supply, which is being done by renewable power. 45 gigawatt of the hydropower plant, which is running at 49-50% PLF, which gives you another 21-22 gigawatt. Effectively, out of 225 gigawatt of the thermal power plant, approximately 45 gigawatt is out of function because of gas non-availability, as well as the thermal power plants, which are with the state government not having enough coal. So from where the 200 gigawatt of the peak power demand will be met. So now the coal crisis has happened because there's a demand is really has come up, and coal prices in the import market went up substantially. So the power plants which were dependent on the imported coal stopped operations because it was not viable for them to import coal at 8 rupees a unit power and supply in the market. And that's what some of the power plants stopped. Once they stopped, one side the generation was going down, another side the domestic coal requirement was going up. Thirdly, there is 65-70 gigawatt of the captive power which is generated based on the imported coal by the industry. The big large refineries, the large steel plants, cement plants, they import coal. They started switching over to domestic coal. So the more and more pressure came on the domestic coal. Coal India has been increasing production this year as compared to last year. So the pressure was on Coal India because captive guys and the imported guys, everybody moved over there. But the actual problem is there is not enough capacity.
Got it. Got it. Moving over to the quarterly results itself, just two questions there. The close to 150 crores in the September quarter, maybe just some composition of this other income, how much is treasury income, what is the total liquid cash balance, including liquid investment on the balance sheet? And second one on tax. The tax rate seems to be high, and is there something that we need to take note of?
So I'll ask Pritesh to take this.
Yeah. Sumit, sorry, we lost you for a few seconds during the first part of your question. I got the other two parts. One is on the other income and on the tax rate. What was the first part of your question?
Cash equivalent plus liquid investments on the balance sheet, and what is the composition of that other income? Is it all treasury income?
Yeah. Sure. I get it. See, so the cash balance at the end of the quarter was about 1,777 crore, right? That's also mentioned in the presentation. And if you look at the tax rate, you're right, the tax rate is appearing higher. But the way to look at it is this, that there are two things that are happening. One is hydro business, of course, is seasonal, where the earnings are front-loaded because of seasonality and hydrology in the first half of the year, and it reverses in the second half of the year. What has happened in the hydro business is that if you recall our disclosures of the first quarter, we had done a $700 million US bond issue in the month of May. And because of that, when the proceeds came, we prepaid the existing rupee term loans, and there were one-time charges that got which had to be booked on account of the prepayment charges as well as the absorption of the unamortized cost of that loan. That was an amount of about 92 crores that was hit in the first quarter. So as a result of that, what is happening is this, that the effective tax rate at the hydro entity is going up, because Karcham is already under ATIA, so you know, one was not able to get the tax shield on account of this provisioning that was done, or the one-time hit that was done in the books of Hydro. But that is going to normalize during the course of the year. So if I were to kind of, you know, help you think through this, that end of the day, what should be the effective tax rate on a consolidated basis looking like? What is going to happen is this, that if you see the last few years, on an average, on a consolidated basis, our effective tax rate is in the ballpark of about 25% plus minus something any given year. We should be largely in that range for the whole year as well.
Okay, okay.
So I hope I've been able to explain that tax part. The other part of the question that you asked is the composition of the other income, right?
Yes.
Now, in the other income, there are essentially two components which are material. One is, you know, we won this case in the Supreme Court on account of the LPS charge at MSEDCL, because of which we have got, you know, 57 crores of income has been booked on account of that. This is basically an old case which was around, you know, the rate at which the LPS needs to be paid, where there was a difference of view between MSEDCL versus, you know, what the PPA held. We had already won it in APTEL, but the MSEDCL had gone in appeal against Supreme Court, and Supreme Court has adjudicated upon that. So that is one. The second component is there was a higher dividend income this time from JSW Steel because of the shares that we own in JSW Steel. So of the roughly 89 crores is explained in the other income on account of this for the quarter. These are the two large items. Yeah.
Okay. So largely the other income of 150 crores is explained by these two items.
Largely. Correct. For the, because you're, when you're talking 150, I'm assuming you're talking the half year, right?
No, September quarter is 1499.
Correct. You're right.
Yes,
for the quarter.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering my question. Yeah.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Subhadip Mitra from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thank you for the opportunity. My first question is with regard to the domestic coal supply crisis that we have seen, and at least the recent data seems to show that coal supply seems to be finally in place and demand is flattening. So probably the plant's coal stock up is starting to happen. So in your view, do you think we are over the hump and we may see this coal supply crisis tapering off going ahead?
Not at all. Because this is not a coal crisis. This is what I just explained. This is a power capacity crisis.
Understood.
So demand has moderated because of the festival season, number one. Number two, there is a lot of imported based power plants which started because of the, some of the states agreed to buy the power at a higher tariff from the from those power plants. So they started with their higher fuel cost. They started then increasing the supply. And that's the primary reason. These two are the primary reason because of which you have seen the moderation. As soon as the demand starts again picking up, you need more and more capacity. See, right now also, like this year also, you are seeing what kind of a capacity. You will be ending up seeing 10 gigawatt of the renewable capacity, effectively 2.5 gigawatt. Power demand is up by 10,000 megawatt. So from where every year power demand is growing, from where the capacity will come up?
Point
accepted. It's not about coal.
It's more of a demand issue than a coal issue. That's your point.
It's not the coal issue. It's the capacity issue.
Secondly, with regard to the international coal price trajectory, any sense of, you know, whether you see that flattening out going ahead?
Yeah. So thermal coal prices have already started coming down. On 15th of October, the API 4 index was $280. Today it is $140. So it has just become 50% in last 14 days. And so the thermal coal prices are coming down.
Okay. Another point being, you know, we've seen a power crisis in China as well, and from what we read, at least in the international media, is that will also have a cascading effect in terms of module supplies and, you know, module production as well as costs. So just wanted to get your sense on, you know, how do you see the module pricing and supply panning out?
It's very tough call for me to tell you that what will be the trajectory. And but what has happened is that in last 6 months, 7 months, the module prices have gone up from 18 cents to 29 cents as we are speaking. And that's where we have been always very, very concerned about the kind of a predatory competitive bidding, what some of the people have been resorting and making the bids at 2 rupees, 2 rupees 40 paisa in order to just make the book, and which are not at all sustainable. And that's the precisely the point, that the bid happens but the people don't execute the project, and that's where the shortage is coming all about. So eventually what Government of India has been initiated to build a large capacity in the country, and then under the new PLI scheme, close to 10 gigawatt of the new polysilicon to the module capacity will be built up. So I believe that that 10 gigawatt of capacity will be up and running in next 24 to 36 months of time. And post that, we will see a lot of stabilization, because India can produce at a pithead very low cost thermal power plant, power, and that with that power, the low cost polysilicon can be produced, and then we will be out of this problem. So I believe that this 10 gigawatt capacity will go up to 30, 40 gigawatt, and then that's what the capacity we need. And some of the large players themselves are individually contemplating 10 gigawatt each. So with this first PLI scheme, I believe that the path has been you know, chosen, and in next 3-4 years we will have large capacities in the country, and till that time we will be have to bear with the this price variation, which will be overcome in due course.
Thank you. This was really helpful. Lastly, you know, as you were mentioning, you know, earlier, that the current crisis on the, let's say, power supply side and the way merchant prices have been going up should induce DISCOMs to start coming back to the medium-term or long-term PPM market. In your discussions with, you know, various DISCOMs, do you see any move by the DISCOMs in planning their medium-term or long-term power?
So I feel that the PPAs will start happening for whatever residual capacity is there, but the no new incremental capacity will be coming from thermal side. So all incremental capacity will be coming only from the renewable side. And so that is completely PPA tied up, and no new project is being built without PPA. So even the funding doesn't happen. So only the existing open capacity is there, which will be certainly tied up in next couple of years time frame.
Understood. Thank you for answering my question. Very helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anuj Upadhyay from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. And sorry if you have already answered this question. I joined in a bit late. So just want to know, did we participate in the recent price hike in the spot market, the rally which we saw in the starting from the last week of September and in the mid of October, and benefited from this? And how things are actually panning out now? Do we have, I mean, the international coal prices are still viable? We imported and sold in the current market on this front? And secondly, would be, can you please elaborate a bit on the MOU which we have signed with the Maharashtra for 5 gigawatt wind and 1.5 gigawatt of hydro pump storage?
So we were having good coal inventory at a very low cost, so, and we could take the advantage of this, you know, good environment in September and October. And right now the demand is subdued, but post festival I believe the demand once again is going to go up. And imported fuel based power plant are the best place to capitalize on the merchant market, because that's where the minimum supply side constraints are there. And as the imported fuel price moderate, it is further helpful for the company like JSW Energy. With regards to the MOU what we have signed, that we, as we have been explaining, that we have been securing the resources, which is particular locations where we would like to build the projects in due course of time, because in India the most difficult part is to acquire the land and get the right of way and connectivity, and that's what we have been building. And so we have been doing this in various states, Rajasthan, Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and now we have done the similar kind of a thing in Maharashtra also. And and pump storage project is the allocation of a particular site which we have identified, and there we will be building 1500 megawatt of hydro pump storage. So right now we have started working on environment clearance and land acquisition per se, and then over a period of time we will build this project, and which will be supplied to SECI for the grid intermittency problems. Like right now you are seeing that new RFQ has been floated for storage solution, which is 4000 megawatt hour. So like that there will be the grid based solutions which will be coming, and their grid will be supplying power in certain off peak time and taking power in the peak time. So that's how the grid will get stabilized from the and then round the clock solutions will be coming, because the grid-based solutions are economically viable. Individual project solution is not economically viable. So that's how we are building these kind of projects.
No, got it, sir. Any view on the timeline for the execution or on the tariff side for these two things?
Yeah, it will take time. You will see that as and when the bids come, we will be able to participate. Because, you know, once you have the resources, you can turn around very quickly. So execution doesn't take time. The real time takes place in getting the resource, getting the land, getting the connectivity, getting the clearances. That takes more time. Execution takes no time. And bids keep on coming. So first is, we don't want to first win the bid and then start looking for the assets and connectivity and land acquisition, and then we don't build the project, which is the difference between the most of the companies and us. We started building the projects immediately after we secured the bid, and now it is going into the commissioning. So the turnaround time is few months.
Got it. Thanks, sir. That's
Thank you. We'll take the last question from the line of Sandeep from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Swanan. Thanks for the opportunity. Two set of questions. First, so I believe that about our 600 megawatt of merchant capacity, we have kept it open intentionally to take the advantage of merchant prices. So, I mean, you know, the merchant prices have been volatile, but what according to you is the likely trajectory over here for the next, say, 6 months to 1 year? Is it going to be somewhere between 3 rupees to 6 rupees? How do you see that? That's the first question.
I'm not sure I will be able to answer you that what will be the prices, but I can say that you know, power shortage is going to stay here for a couple of quarters, and prices will be ultimately a function of demand and supply. And I see that not enough investment has taken place in power sector in last couple of years, and because of this we will be seeing the power shortage in time to come, and that will directly reflect into the merchant prices.
and then that will ultimately lead to the re-signing of the PPAs. That is what the interpretation is, right?
That may happen. That I'm sure that you know. When did you last time see that in spite of having a PPA at X price, DISCOM agreed to buy at a much higher price from the company with whom they have PPA and given a special approval? It has happened.
Yeah, that's true, I take your point, but then, you know, they had the kind of obligation, that's what they said. So that was another thing, perhaps. Sir, my second question is, you know, do you actually foresee peak deficit, which is right now just about 0.5% or 1%? Do you foresee that we are going back to 2011 times when the peak deficit used to be about 10-11%, because you know, India being an aging peak country, you know, the renewables have little role to play over there. And thermal, since we are not investing, you will see that 2023-24 you will hit that peak deficit.
I believe very strongly that we are going to see the power shortage, because we have not made enough investments.
Okay. Now, so basically,
that's what I am also saying, that the deficit is going to increase. If there is a shortage, there will be the deficit which will be increased. It's one in both are the two sides of coin.
Yeah, no, I agree. So my point was that when are we likely to see that? Is that likely to be visible in CY 22-23? When do you think that is likely to start hitting?
No, I think we have already started seeing it.
Okay.
We'll continue to see, because you know, no, where is the investment happening other than renewable? And what is the pace of investment? 10 gigawatt, which is 2000 megawatt a year. The demand is increasing by 10,000 megawatt every year.
Right.
So we know, you plot on from 2010 to 2020 how much capacity we have increased and how much demand has increased. So not in the installed capacity, we have to see the generation capability. So if in last 10 years we have set up 100,000 megawatt of the renewable capacity, last 10 years, which is equivalent to 19 gigawatt only. We are talking about capacity increase, but we are not seeing the actual capability to generate how many million units. Whereas the demand is growing much higher. So last 7-8 years, close to 45,000 megawatt of overcapacity has been absorbed. We have been a power surplus country in terms of the capacity from 2013 onwards, and that's where you have been seeing this kind of a NPA problem and also the subdued merchant market and all this kind of a thing. But this all overcapacity has got absorbed in last 6-7 years. Now, in order to overcome this, you need to at least set up 35,000 megawatt of renewable every year. Then you are meeting the incremental demand. Then you will continue to have this kind of a scenario what you are having. But if you don't set up that kind of a capacity, then you will be having shortage.
Right. Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And feel free to reach out to us for further questions. Thanks again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of DAM Capital Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.